Today, we're going to be looking at Lesson 11, and we're going to be considering the pre-incarnate state of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe this is a very important lesson to follow up from Lesson 6 that we did last week. If you remember, in our last lesson, we looked at the historical views concerning Jesus Christ. And that's because most people operate with this idea that as long as you believe in Jesus, it's okay. Well, as we saw in the last lesson, it's not necessarily okay because there are a lot of different views out there, even held by other religions, that don't believe that, first of all, that Jesus is God, and that don't believe that he was fully human as well. So having discussed the unusual and wrong views that are out there, we want to begin the discussion today concerning who Jesus Christ really is. And so that's why we want to focus in on the pre-incarnate state of Jesus. Now, what do we mean by pre-incarnate? Well, we understand the incarnation. That is when Jesus was born a human. We celebrated at Christmas, the virgin birth. Well, what about Jesus beforehand? So that's what we're going to look at today. So the first thing we want to consider is, why is it important for you and I to have an understanding about the pre-incarnate state of Jesus? Well, I just want you to consider three things. First of all, most Christians understand Jesus Christ from his incarnation and future. So if you were to talk to most folks, and that would include you, most of us understand the incarnation of Jesus, that he was born the Son of God, he lived a perfect life, he went to the cross where he suffered cruelly and died, he was buried, raised again, he's ascended to the Father. There he is right now interceding on our behalf, but one day in the future, he's coming back to establish his thousand-year reign. And once that thousand-year reign is over, there will be the great white throne judgment, and believers will go with him into eternity and will exist with him forevermore. Now, that's pretty much the extent that most folks have about Jesus Christ. Well, the problem is that we don't really want to think about before the incarnation. So here's my second point. Most believers don't understand or consider that the second person of the Trinity has always existed. So the second person, which we know is the Son of God, but he didn't become the Son of God until the incarnation, when he became the Son of God through the virgin birth, he has always existed in the relationship within the Trinity, with the Father and the Spirit. So, why is this important? Why do we need to study the pre-incarnate state of Jesus? Well, that's because, here it is, the third point, it is easier to understand Jesus Christ as human than to understand him as eternal God. It's easier for us to consider his humanity because that's what we read in the Gospels. That's what we understand. And that's what we look to in our relationship with him, is the way that he interacted with others. But when it comes to the pre-incarnate state, the way he was from the very beginning, before he took on human flesh, most of us don't even have a clue or even see the relevance of that. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And so we're going to break it down into several parts. And so the first thing we want to look at, first of all, is the eternality of Jesus Christ. He is eternal. He has always existed. In fact, that has been reflected in some of the names that he has been given, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. Now, what is Alpha and Omega, George? Well, that is, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter, so he is the first and last. He has always existed. So let's talk about the eternality of Jesus Christ with reference to the scripture and the reality that he's always existed. So the first thing I want you to notice is this. In eternity past, Jesus Christ has always existed with God and was God. So he's always existed in relationship with the Father, and he was God. Now, how do we know that? Well, if we go to the Gospel of John, looking at the very first verse of the very first chapter, notice what John records. It should be very familiar to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that word, the Greek word there would be logos. Remember, we talked about the logos a little bit in the last lesson with reference to some people saying it's a different state or whatever. Well, the reality is that is who he was in the second person of the Trinity. So in the beginning, he existed and he was with God, in relationship with God, and he was God. So that brings me to the next point I want you to see here. The second person of the Trinity has always had relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. So the three, they're one, they're unity, we've talked about that, but they've always existed in three distinct persons who are in unity with each other, in relationship with each other. Now, that relationship within the Trinity existed before the world was created. So it's always been there. It's not something that just all of a sudden was made. That relationship has always existed. Now, that's kind of hard for you and I to grasp, for you and I to understand, because we think of things of having a beginning. But with regards to this relationship within the Godhead, within the Trinity, it has always existed, and they have always been in relationship with each other. Now, we can see this in, again, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, verse 5. Look at what the text says. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. This is from Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17, and he's praying to the Father. He's asking to be glorified in his presence with a glory that he had with God the Father before the world existed. So he has always, always existed. And they have been in relationship with each other forever. He is eternal. Now, what about the reality of, what about some of the scripture and what does it teach about Jesus and his eternality? Well, the Apostle Paul calls Jesus the firstborn of all creation. So, now, that might be kind of confusing to you, but listen to what he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, that phrase, firstborn of all creation, that might lead to some confusion because you might be thinking, well, doesn't that say there was a beginning for Jesus, for the second person? No. Notice what I want you to see here. Paul is not saying that Jesus Christ was created. Rather, Jesus Christ existed before creation. He's not saying that he's the first of many to be born. No, he wasn't created. He's always existed. He existed before creation. So that's going to bring us into the next section of looking at the pre-incarnate state of Jesus. And we're going to notice that, because we've already mentioned it already, the fact of creation. We're going to look now at Jesus Christ's involvement in creation. Now, you may not be aware of that, but the fact is the scripture teaches that Jesus was involved in the creation of the world. So when we look around at everything today, Jesus was involved in what exists here in this planet, in our universe. So let's take a look at it. Here's what I want you to notice. First thing, Jesus Christ was there when creation began with him and through him. So Jesus Christ was there. The second person of the Trinity was there when creation began with him. So it began with him and it was through him. That's what the scripture teaches. How do we know that? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So the writer of Hebrews is pointing out that Jesus created the world. It was through him. Now, here's what I want you to also understand. We know very little about the extent of Jesus Christ's involvement in creation. We know that he was involved. We know that it was through him. But we don't know exactly what took place. Now, what we do know is this. We do know that Jesus Christ chose believers in him before the foundations of the world. And so what we need to do now is look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So here, the apostle Paul is telling us that while we don't know the extent of what he did in creation, the one thing we do know is that he chose us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He determined that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, is that talking about the election issue? No. I want you to focus in on what he was determining would be true about you and I, and that is through faith, belief in him, you and I become holy, separated unto him, but blameless, no longer having our sin hanging over us. We become blameless and pure before him. So that is one of the things that he was doing in creation. He was already determining what would happen with you and I who believe. Now, the other thing I want you to notice is this. Without Jesus, nothing in creation would exist. So again, when you consider everything that's going on around us, when you look outside, when you see creation and all that is going on, the trees and everything, the atmosphere, the space, the universe, and so forth, nothing would exist if it wasn't for Jesus. Now, how do we know that? Well, let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he is the reason why everything exists. In fact, it's not just that he's the reason why everything exists. Jesus Christ is the sustainer of all things in creation. So the second person of the Trinity is the reason why everything continues to exist. In fact, we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Notice what the text says. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Well, it's because of him that all things are, and it's through him that all things are. So here's what I want you to see. Here's the ultimate point that we're going to notice here. The scripture presents Jesus Christ as creator, preserver, and the goal of all creation. He is creator. We've already seen that. He's been involved. He's preserver. We've already seen that as well. But he's ultimately the goal of all creation. What do you mean by that, the goal of all creation? Well, let's take a look and notice now what Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20 says. Notice with me verse 16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, did you notice the goal? The goal is to bring peace to our world. The goal is to bring salvation. He is the creator, preserver, and the goal of creation. He is the one. He's the ultimate. Now, we've talked about his eternality. We've talked about creation. There is one other aspect that we need to talk about as far as his pre-incarnate state. And that really is his interaction with believers through the centuries up until the point of his virgin birth. So what we're going to focus on right now is the pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus Christ. The pre-incarnate appearances. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, theologically, they are also referred to as theophanies. Now, that's a big theological word. What it means is, it is the appearance of Jesus, Jesus showing up, but not in human flesh. And so let's talk about that. So what I want you to notice is, first of all, although the second person of the Trinity appeared before the incarnation, he is never referred to as the Christ. So you're not going to find the word Jesus or Christ in the Old Testament. That's not how he's referred to. By the way, the word Christ is the word meaning Messiah. Now, you'll see references to the Messiah, but that's referring to his future coming in the prophecies, but it is not talking about his appearances. So when he appears, he's not referred to as Christ. Now, how is he referred to in the Old Testament? Well, in the Old Testament, he is referred to as Son or the Angel of the Lord. So what do you mean he's referred to as Son? Well, I want you to notice with me what Psalm 2 verse 7 is. Now again, I want you to realize Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. And notice what David writes in verse 7. I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So here he's recording the words of the Father, referring to the second person of the Trinity as the Son, whom he has begotten, referring to the future incarnation. Now, that's not the only way that he's referred to in the Old Testament. There is actually another way that he's referred to, and it happens many times. So his appearances in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord are significant. Now, what do we mean by significant? They are many. You're going to see that he appears many times in the Old Testament. Now, what do you mean? He appears as the angel of the Lord. So who does that take place with? Well, let me name a few of them. He appeared to Hagar. If you go back to Genesis, when she was driven away by Sarah, and the angel of the Lord appeared. That was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. He appeared to Hagar, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and Joshua, to name a few. What do you mean to name a few? There are many appearances. Abraham, it was the angel of the Lord who stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. Jacob, remember he wrestles with the angel of the Lord through the night until his hip was taken out of joint. That was the pre-incarnate Jesus. Moses, the angel of the Lord appeared in a burning bush and met with him on Mount Sinai. Joshua, before they were to take Jericho, he sees the angel of the Lord with a sword in his hand, and he asks, "Who are you with?" And the angel replies, "I'm not on anybody's side. I am the captain of the army of the Lord." That was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Now, the other thing I want you to realize, and we see this, like for instance with Joshua and how he responds, when he appeared as the angel of the Lord, those who came in contact with him understood that he was God. So it's not like they thought they were just in the presence of an angel. They understood that they saw God. God showed up. And so where do you see that, George? Well, here's an interesting passage that I want you to consider. It's in the book of Judges, and it has to do with Samson's parents, because the angel of the Lord appeared to his parents to predict that Samson would be born and the reality that he would have to take the Nazarite vow. So I want you to notice with me, Judges chapter 13, verses 21 to 22, notice the reaction of Samson's father. The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die, for we have seen God." Typical reaction. If you go to other places in the Old Testament, when they come into the presence of God, they are immediately struck with fear, fear that they are going to die. This is the reaction, the natural reaction from humanity when it comes face to face with deity. Here, Manoah and his wife, Manoah has this reaction because he realizes that he has met God. Now, what do we need to focus on when we think about this lesson today? Here's what I want you to understand. Again, we need to realize that Jesus Christ has always existed. He has been involved in every aspect of our lives, from creation to sustaining it. And he is the ultimate goal. The reality is that Jesus interacts with his believers. We see that throughout the Old Testament. And the reality is that I want you to understand, he's not just fully human. He has always been, and here it is, he's always been God. And that's what the focus of our lesson is today.